they say we should have known better than to fall so deep down into this rabbit hole we found. And I was thinking,
hi, this is Nico. You're listening to My Dad or Fall, also known as the White Rabbit and James Jardine. I'm the one and only Down the Security Rabbit Hole podcast. Buckle up and enjoy.
Deep into this pool.
All right, giggity. That was fun. All right, welcome down Security Rabbit Hole, friends, to another edition, the 599th episode of the Down the Security Rabbit Hole podcast, which is actually not the 599th. It's just the one that we've numbered the 599th. Because James and I were going through, and I do this semi-regularly. I scroll all the way to the bottom and look at episode one and realize that there's probably about 40 episodes that don't have numbers way back.
A lot of microcasts. Remember we did the microcast, the newscast?
Some other random things, interviews, stuff like that.
Holiday 2011 year end wrap ups.
Back when this thing started, we were I never in a million years thought I'd be 14 years and almost 600 episodes into this, but here we are. And I wanted to, a little bit of housekeeping. So on the 600th, it's a 2-hour live stream. I've got the most bonkers lineup I could think of for you guys. So I've got Jim Tiller's coming, Eric Block's coming, Tom Venables is coming, James Beeson's coming, James Christiansen is coming. Do you guys know who James Christiansen is? If you don't, look up his name. He's kind of a legend. The one and only Anton Chevakin, because I can't do an episode, a major episode without him, because somebody's got to keep me in check on the snark. And of course, my good pal, Jeff Collins. And there may be other special guests. You just don't know. And maybe we'll do some kind of podcast trivia. We'll have some fun. So it's going to get live streamed. I invite you to spend some time. It is May 2nd. It is 6 to 8 PM Eastern. I highly advise you have some sort of beverage in hand. If coffee is your choice, fantastic. Most of us will not be drinking. I mean, maybe we'll be able to drink coffee, but there'll be other things, more adulty. And I totally invite you to participate. And James, I started scrolling all the way back and I went to zero, right? The SecBiz podcast, the episode that started, Labor Day's at the end of summer. I always screw those up.
Yeah. Labor Day would be around that time. September, right?
Yep. So there was a conversation on Twitter that started up about whether CISO should be a technical call up or a business learn down. And clearly we settled that because we used the hashtag SECBIZ and it went for like 4 days nonstop. And I made a podcast about it. And I was like, okay. So Phil Cox joined me. Phil Cox was the first ever guest, which was kind of fun. And we just kind of chatted about it. I don't know if the issue is settled. I think there's evidence that says CISOs that don't have an executive background or business background are in a lot of trouble today. But I focused on, as I was scrolling, I stopped at episode 2. It's called, and if you guys have not heard this, I'm not going to ruin the whole thing for you, but here's the weird part. This was recorded and at least published September 29th, 2011. That is almost 12 and a half years ago. And it's valid today. It's called Can You Be Hacked Out of Business? Rob Hale, Martin McKay joined me. It was super interesting. I haven't talked to those two guys in far too long. But so if you guys are out there listening, come back to the show. So the whole premise was, can you get hacked out of, like, if you get hacked, can you get out of business? And I think at the time we mentioned, well, yeah, kind of. If your business is trust, remember that certificate authority got hacked and then they disappeared. But then we kind of said, you know, but for the most part, like, it's not going to be that bad. I think if we revisited that today, the answer would be, yeah, damn Skippy, you can. Because crypto lockers are a thing. And if you can't conduct business, then I think you're, what's the right word? Screwed?
Yeah, I think it's dependent, though, of like size of business, all that stuff. Because, I mean, we've seen some pretty major hacks that, you know, have made very small dents into a business versus, I think, especially with the ransomware, right? You take like a smaller healthcare office, you know, and I say healthcare more like the doctor's office, something super small that can't handle that. But, you know, when you go look at like the casinos getting hacked for what they got hacked for, they hit that thing and, you know, it's like a little speed bump in the road. It's probably a crack in the road and they just keep on trucking, you know? So, I mean, it definitely, yeah. I think it does that capability, right? Like, depending on who you are, yeah, you can certainly be put right out of business.
Yeah, so I suppose, yeah, but I'm kind of more of the mind of if your ability to business is digital and your business largely relies on data, a lot of companies today do, then suddenly if you find yourself unable to process, even see, like, your data goes bye-bye, right? Your currency of your business goes away. Like, what do you got?
Yeah.
I mean, realistically, what's left?
Yeah. I think interesting on the other side of that is how many businesses have flourished because they went through a hack, right? Or
yeah, also that annoys me.
You know, I mean, it's an interesting balance, I think, between that. Like, you definitely have that capability that, you know, you could take somebody down with it, but the right type of hack, like a smaller type of thing. I mean, there's plenty of companies that I've argued over the years that nobody even heard of until they were in the news, right? And yeah, it wasn't bad enough to actually force people to not use them anymore. As a matter of fact, it was like, oh, I didn't even know that existed. Let me go try that.
Right.
That's a very interesting dynamic there. But, you know, the risk of, I think, going out of business is much worse for an organization than the other side. Like, that's why we're protecting, right?
Yeah, that's definitely fair. I think one of my other early favorite episodes, and you caught this one, James, is Jack Nicholson. Like, not that Jack Nicholson. Jackalope. Jack hasn't been on a podcast in a minute either. It's called Security is Just Good IT. And if you think about sort of his messaging, again, I totally advise you to go back and listen to that one. That one's awesome. October 31st, 2011. Okay. It's so old. It would be getting to high school now. but it's so on point. It's so unbelievably on point. Like, he's got the Bruce Lee quote in there, about be like water. And you know, and kind of be the path of least resistance. So good. Stop making it difficult. I mean, I can't remember. I honestly can't even count the number of times I've said that, James. Like, this is like on projects, on this podcast, how many times I've said, guys, this is too hard. Nobody's going to do it.
Yeah. Like,
if you want security to be effective, you've got to make it absolutely bonkers simple.
Yeah. You know, it's
that's all the
separation, right? Like, you're making it complex with the separation, all that stuff. Like, I like the way it's phrased of, you know, I mean, good IT or good security IT is just good IT, right? Like,
yeah,
that should be part of that. I say that with development, you know, secure development is just good development. That's it.
Yeah.
That's what it is, you know, but everything in security, we separate it out from the very beginning. It was like, oh, well, that has to be over here. Like, don't worry about that. We'll do it, right? So we changed what good development or good security or good IT is to say, oh, well, good doesn't include this,
right?
Because security will cover that, you know? But we've been saying all along, you know, I mean, back in 2011, like, no, that should just be part of it, you know? And
right.
We've still diverged. And now we're fighting to get back in.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And I think that's part of the challenge, right? We got, I don't know, somewhere along the line, like this desire to be completely special and unique, and it's bit us in the arse the entire way through. It is ugly. Another one of the episodes that I have now admittedly probably listened to myself at least two or three times since we recorded it was April 2nd, 2012, episode 13, Mark Radcliffe. Mark, I don't know if Mark still works there or because it's been a while, but Mark at the time worked at DLA Piper. It's a law firm if you don't know who that is. And the podcast episode is called The T's and C's of Cloud Computing. And I got to tell you, I wish people would listen to that today because there are so many good lessons to be learned in that episode of like, hey, read the agreement you're signing to use this thing. Know the limitations, liabilities. It's crazy.
Yeah. I mean, how often, right? You go through, you just click like, yeah, sure. We'll take it.
Right.
With no idea about uptime or, you know, any guarantees around anything or who's going to be liable. You know, we have been talking a lot more over the past few years, right? Like the shared responsibility models and, you know, really kind of picking that apart and saying, you know, hey, this is my spot. Here's your responsibility, you know, and really breaking that stuff down. Whereas before that, I don't think it was a thought, right? Like there was some T's and C's and that, okay, we're good. We'll throw it to the cloud or we'll throw it into this package and we'll hope for the best.
Right. Yeah. Let's just go ahead and use this component. Click through. Everything's fine.
Yeah.
Ignore it. It'll be great.
I know we do that with everything, right? I mean, who when they installs the app on their phone is actually looking through any type of thing. Maybe now you get the box that says, hey, here's all the stuff this thing's going to have access to.
Right.
But still, who looks at that, right? They're just like, yeah, okay. Nobody. Fine, whatever. Like, I want that functionality. I don't care what it costs me.
That's right. Nobody does.
You know?
So it's interesting. I might leave this as a trivia question for see who can figure this out. But Tuma has actually been on. It was actually on the show before you joined, James.
Yeah,
I did not realize that. So Sean, you've been an OG now officially on.
I was just gonna say he's an OG for sure.
It's interesting. As I scrolled, there's a lot of fun. I mean, there's a ton of episodes. I have got to figure out exactly how many episodes I have because there are so many. One of the unnumbered ones, October 25th, 2013, the episode I affectionately called How Not to Get Shot by Secret Service. It was recorded. At let me see if I put it where I did this at. So no, it was in Baltimore. I want to say ISSA International in Baltimore at that year. So there was this lady that gave an absolutely killer keynote, and I walked in about 5 minutes after she introduced or somebody introduced her. So I had no idea. She just sounded super smart. And clearly was with some government somewhere and had an English accent. So I was like, cool. So she's walking off stage and I've got my little pocket recorder and I reach into my pocket and I start pulling that out, to go, like, I'm going to walk towards her and interview her. At which point a bunch of guys with black suits and, earpieces step out. And I was like, it was the Right Honorable Baroness Pauline Neville Jones. And she was David Cameron's cyber czar. So she was in the Parliament, House of Lords. Like, she was legit. And I one of the craziest interviews ever. I've never had, a Secret Service or whatever the English equivalent is, agents standing around as I'm interviewing somebody. Like, that is just – that was cool. A little scary, but kind of cool. If you remember what was going on at that time, I did manage to sneak in the question of Snowden, privacy versus security, because she was very, very heavy on security. And then we had to kind of ask the privacy questions, right? So she balanced those very well. But that lady was one of my absolute all-time favorite interviews. And that is that's an unnumbered episodes. Just go scroll back to October 25th, 2013, and you'll find her there as a feature cast. Back when I named things for what they were rather than just numbers. And then right after that, I ended up with a U.S. patent attorney from the Southern District of California talking about cybercrime. Not patent attorney, U.S. attorney. Sorry, I read something else. Sabrina Feve, I think her name was. She was a USA, the Southern District of California, specializing in hacking and cybercrimes. I need to get her on again. I need to go find a way to contact her. If anybody knows Sabrina, if you're listening, hey, let's get her back on the show. That would be a lot of fun.
Yeah, there's a lot of people that, you know, over the years, I mean, you forget. I mean, you think like almost 10 years ago now, you know, you're looking at, man, we need to reconnect with that and follow up.
I know.
Remember we talked about this, you know, 10 years ago? Like, where are we now?
I feel like I need to do that.
I remember when we were at, I forget which conference it was, but we were at one of them and we were doing a in-person interview. And the question came out about cars and they were like, by the time your kids are driving, you know, we'll have all self-driving cars, you know, yeah. We'll drive cars anymore. And we're like,
gosh. Oh man, what was her name? She was awesome. She's in here somewhere. I'll keep scrolling.
She's definitely in here. I forget her name too. She's the one that used to work at Parabin, right? Is that it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's right.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's who it was. But yeah, like, you know, it was a great conversation. Like the in-person ones have been awesome. I don't know if it was at that conference we were at, or maybe it was when we went out to Vegas and did some of it.
No, so I think that one – so the one with her, we recorded at one of the InfoSec Worlds. And I think that was the one in Florida. InfoSec World – a million and a half years ago.
Yep. That's the one I might be thinking about too for this other, like the auto industry recording that we did for the insurance companies.
Yeah, I think
companies.
I'm going to go scroll through that one. By the way, another favorite that I've got marked down and I'm still not even at 100 yet. I find that some of my older ones are like some of my really big favorites, but Bob Rudess and Jay Jacobs did. Remember that? I don't know. You weren't on that one yet. Maybe you were. But it was Lies, Damn Lies, and InfoSec Statistics. Oh, that's an awesome one. That is such a great episode. That was so much fun. Let's see. I'm going to now find – oh, man. The one thing I dislike about the way that you said to do their website is if you scroll back, you got to scroll all the way down forever and ever.
Yeah. It is kind of a pain. Yeah, that was episode 80.
Does anybody remember episode 100? Has anybody been listening to us that long? If you're listening and you're like, yeah, I know who that is. Do you remember Dan Gear episode 100, folks? That was fantastic. Fantastic. And then the first ever appearance of one Mr. Jim Tiller, the man, the myth, the legend, was episode 102. So that's
going 2014.
Yeah,
he started making a comeback.
Don't call it a comeback. He's been here the whole time, man. Oh,
he's trying to fight. I think he's trying to fight Tuma for a number of episodes.
Right. I think. Hey, listen, that's a good one. James, I think you were already on board for this one.
I came out on 33. So,
yeah. So you were definitely on board for this one. Again, one I did not number because I don't know. CFAA Shell Shock and Security Research, October 2nd, 2014. That was awesome. God, why can't I think of her name? I'm going to scroll and it's going to bother the hell out of me. Because it wasn't, I mean, maybe it was that far back. How far back do you think it was?
I feel like it's been
close, a while.
Yeah, I mean, 8 years, 7 years. Maybe not that long. I don't know. Time flies way too fast.
Teresa something. Oh gosh, that was her name, Teresa.
Are you sure?
Let me go to LinkedIn.
I feel like you're thinking of Teresa Payton. We interviewed for the out in Vegas.
Wasn't she the one that did the Cars thing with us?
No, that she was the one that she was the White House CIO or CSO or something like that.
Yeah, but I think she's the one we had the conversation on Cars because she was with Fortalice at the time. Maybe still is.
Yes, yeah, pretty sure.
So that's okay. Hi, Teresa.
Amber Schroeder. That's who I'm thinking.
Yes. Oh, that one was awesome. Yeah. How far back is that one?
I don't know. I had to do the search to find the name. That's I didn't find it on our site. It's not easy to find that.
Amber's episode was so good because it was so rooted in this harsh reality that I think a lot of us simply disacknowledge is there.
Yeah. I mean, it was good stuff. I just love that, you know, you get some of those insights, you know, around different things like that, you know, like, hey, is this going to be here? And, you know, oh no, we'll all be in self-driving cars. I think that's who it was. I'll have to try to find it and see if we can find that episode.
Yeah, I think that's correct. So one of my others, and I got to get him back on the show, although he's now probably so busy. I don't know if it's ever going to happen again. But those of you guys that have been along around for Dan Gere, you were definitely around for 196. And 196 is an episode that I would say if you're a new CISO or you're aspiring into security leadership, go listen to right now. Cue that one up next. 196. It's Jason Witte. And Jason came from Bank of America, US Bank. I think he was or is USA. Like, he has a pedigree. Like, he worked for Jamie Dimon. Like, if you're looking at top shelf CISOs, people that not only can lead, but actually understand the security business and business, and manage to do it all without finding a spotlight every 30 seconds. Jason's your guy. One of the greatest people I think I've ever had the pleasure of interviewing because he's so easygoing about a topic that's so difficult to thread the needle right on. It's almost a little creepy because he's like, how are you this calm on this? But you guys go 196, definitely go listen to that one. That one's fantastic. You know, do you remember, James? Were you around for Bob Arno? The guy that I had on, it was when I was working for HP, we managed to have a guy at a conference. It was a pickpocket. And he was so good at it that you'd like walk over, shake his hand, and suddenly like he'd be wearing your belt and your watch. You're like, what the hell? How did that happen?
I don't remember that one.
But the parallels, right? But the parallels between our world, what we do, and you know what the rest of the like this what the real world looks like, and kind of how to defend, you know, not getting distracted, right? Not being able to be distracted over here, like right. Oh, look over here, shiny thing, and suddenly you think like those. How many remember those distract like. The giant DDoSes that had the banks trying to scramble to get their internet presence back while their ATMs were being cleaned out.
Right.
Right? Like, that's a big deal. We had Rick Howard on. I haven't had Rick Howard on in a while. 256. Rick Howard. That's a legend. Oh, man. Any favorites in the early ones, James, that we haven't hit yet?
I mean, I think I've just been kind of picking out some of those that we had, you know, as we talk through some of these ideas, you know, no specific episode per se numbers, but it just amazes me the stuff that we've been talking about for 10 years, right? And it's all of it pretty much is still relevant. It doesn't matter which one it was, you know, like everything is still a relevant discussion today and things that we're still trying to work out. Maybe we've moved a little bit in one direction or the other, but like it's all still there. You know, like I can't think of anything in those early episodes that we haven't been past. Like there was another one back close to what you were just talking about, like what the board wished the CISOs would know, you know, and
that's
we still struggle, right, with all that information of, hey, how do we talk to the board? How do we get this information across? Because we still haven't solved that problem of getting CISOs to know what the board wishes they knew, you know?
You know, I think as I scroll back and I find like the favorites, the episodes that probably get the most listens and the most love throughout the years, it just reinforces the my belief in what this podcast is about. And that is, you know, there's plenty of good technical content out there. Like if you want to hear about bad guys, you want to go hear about, you know, what the latest news is and all that. We're probably not your show for that. But if you want insight, like really good insight into things that are part of our industry and potentially part of your daily life. Like we had Brittany, I'm going to pronounce her name wrong. Brittany, I'm sorry. Hummertsheim. Episode 306. So this is a little closer to now, at the halfway mark. She talked about balancing family and career, and like that, I remember points of that episode, right? How do you get blending? How do you blend in work and personal life in a way? Our companies, there's one thing we talked about, I think at the time was like, well, our company's forcing you to choose between being a parent, right, and family and your job, and like, right, what do you do at that point? And because I know I've been there in my career where a company's been like, hey, y'all, we just need you for more hours. Like, you know, if you want this job, and like younger me was like, all right, well, I guess I'm going to postpone everything. And this is what I need to do right now. Like older me would be like, yeah, see ya.
Yeah.
I know where I'm going. But like, we just, you know, we've covered a lot of, interesting topics. The ethics of cyber, that was an awesome panel that we did.
The whole gamut, you know, I mean, interesting about like the balancing family and career, because, you know, that was 2018 when we discussed that, right? So that was well before the pandemic hit, right? And well before, you know, the remote workforce exploded in that would be a super interesting topic to discuss again, to have that difference between most people are in offices or traveling for stuff to, wow, so much is now remote. And now we have the struggle of getting back into the office and all that, but now you're remote, you're home. It's a different struggle, I think, trying to balance that family and career part, you know, just on a day-to-day basis, because everything's home. You know, it's like, right, well, how do I step away? How do I come back?
It's
an interesting thing. Look,
work from home is both, I've said it before and I'll say it again, it's both one of the greatest blessings, one of the biggest curses we've ever had, right? Because yes, I can, if I need to, I can go out. Like today, I'm going to go see my kids for lunch because it's what I do on Fridays when I can. And you're not going to preempt that. You're just not, right? But that also means that I'm probably going to be, you know, sitting down at my laptop at like 5 p.m. still, at like 5:30 p.m. still, and then maybe watching the NHL playoffs tonight, like glancing at my laptop, responding to email, right, even though I know I shouldn't, right? But it's like, well, I was gone a little bit for lunch, so I should go reply to a couple more messages. That's a dangerous mindset. I think we've all suddenly become comfortable with, and it's really weird how that has crept into our sort of everyday.
I think
it's not acknowledged a lot.
Yeah, I think, you know, as you're sitting there talking through that, it reminds me of like the unlimited PTO scam.
Yes.
Right. Like that. So what happens? You never use PTO because you know that if you use too much of it, they'll say it's not unlimited. Right. Like you start to get chastised for it. But, you know, like there's no guideline to it. So it's like, all right, well, I'll take it later or whatever. Right. Like versus the, hey, you got 20 days, use them or lose them. Like, well, crap, I'm going to use these. But you have unlimited days, I mean, I don't feel like I'm losing anything if I don't use them because there was no number.
Yeah.
And so I think that correlates similar to now the work from home, you know, where it's like, oh, well, you know, you can work infinite time if you want or take as much time as you want. And it's like, oh, right. Well, I feel guilty of taking too much time. Or to your exact point, right? Like, oh, I went to the doctor's office today, so I need to work later tonight just to make like feel like I've put in the time that they're expecting me to put in.
I'm telling you, man, that programming is I don't know how, like, what the Jedi mind trick was to make that happen, but I'm not happy about it. I've been working really hard for the last, I'd say, 5 to 7 years to like shed some of that.
Yeah.
Like, I stepped out for an extra 15 minutes at lunch. Oh gosh, I got to go make that up. I think that mindset comes from like the, and those of you that worked with me at HP, like the Meg Whitman school of work, where like, if you're not sitting at your desk for 8.5 hours a day, you clearly aren't working.
Right.
Like, that was great when we were all factory workers and we punched the clock in, we punched the clock out, we produced widgets. You know, some people, that is just the way that their jobs are. And I acknowledge that. However, if you're listening to this podcast, odds are, you're not one of those people, which means that your productivity isn't measured by how many hours your backside is in your seat staring at your laptop screen or your computer screen. It's how much, you know, your productivity. And if you're one of those people that's hyper productive in 5 hours a day, enjoy the 3 hours you've earned, right? There should not be this is like every time I talk to consulting organizations, you know, doing optimization and stuff like that. And I've done a couple of these now where it's getting, switching from hourly work to, you know, so hourly sales to fixed fee. And at first people are like, oh my gosh, it's going to break us. I'm like, no, because in fixed fee, there's no penalty for doing it more efficiently and faster. In hourly, there is. I want to get away from the hourly thing, whether it's how we bill people, whether that mindset is, and it applies to how we work. Because if you give me a task and I get it done in 45 minutes, you're like, well, that should have taken the average person about an hour. Like, great. Me and coffee are going to spend 15 quality minutes on my couch. Like, it's just how it's going to be. I'm sorry. That doesn't mean I'm going to do something else, right? Like, what do you need me to do? And, Brittany's that episode with Brittany, you guys should go listen to. It's really good. It gets a little personal, and I think that makes it really, 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 really real. I just found another one, because we just, like, Adam, we just had Adam Myers on. Guys, if you haven't listened to 598, you definitely need to go listen to it. Like, go follow Adam. Adam's weird, but Adam's my kind of weird. Like, he's awesome weird. So Adam's over at CrowdStrike. We were talking about threats and kind of what the bad guys are doing. And it starts to come back to identity, right? We're back to identity. And it's crazy because identity, we've been talking about that as kind of the new hotness for a couple of years, maybe a year now. That's really been hot, maybe a little bit longer. And yet, in January of 2019, 328 was with Richard Byrd, who was over at, I want to say, Ping Identity. Yeah, Ping Identity at the time. And we had a great conversation about how, like, identity is the perimeter. I really, James, at some point I want to scroll past an episode and go, oh, we solved that. Oh, good. We don't need to.
Yeah,
we don't need to,
that's what I'm saying. Like, everything is still, everything you scroll through is like, wow, we could have this conversation today and maybe it's a little bit different, but it's still the same conversation, you know? It's very interesting scrolling up. I did like, you know, ones that stick out to me, you know, were when we had like the 369 ransomware's end. You know, ransomware has been such a hot topic. And then all of a sudden you got like, we've solved ransomware. And yet again, it's still a problem everywhere, even though they may have solved it, right? Like, they, like, hey, great technique. We're stealing keys from the ransomware guys and we could decrypt your stuff. No problem.
Yeah. Yet
nobody implements it, or, you know, it's an interesting thing, I think, with security, especially when you think about government regulations. We just had some stuff, you know, there was news about, oh, a Congress has got to meet about, you know, the healthcare organization that got hacked, and you know, what can Congress do to fix this problem? And it's like, I've yet to see government fix a problem.
Right.
Right. Right. Like, that, you know,
the most terrifying words in the English language. I'm with the government. I'm here to help.
Yeah. You know, I mean, them fix the problem. What's happening? A bunch of lobbyists for security firms are like, well, they should have to be using our tools. And we get in this situation. And I think it's the same thing with the ransomware solution is, if you can't prove your value, people aren't going to implement your solution. And it seems a lot of times in security, we have a hard time proving our value. So what do? We try to mandate through legislation, you need to use our technology, right? Like, I can't sell it to you, so I'm going to force it to you. Right. And, you know, I think it's not just a ransomware thing, but I think that's a lot of some of our issue. I think we've talked about it on the show a few times too, like being able to show your value. Like, we have to be able to show our value. And if you can't sell it, then you're probably not doing a good job selling, like showing your value to the system, you know? But it's just interesting, that government piece that ties in, like, okay, well, nobody wants to, we can't get people to do pen testing. Well, let's go create a standard that requires pen testing, right? Like, how do I force it to somebody because they don't want to do it on their own? And maybe some of that's good, but, you know, has it made a change? I don't know. It's hard to say.
Yeah, maybe. I think maybe is the answer. All right. I think we've had enough fun and nostalgia. You know, the topic of this episode is, how the hell did we get here? And I think the answer is slowly and with a lot of fun. And so the next one, 600, you guys. And so for those of you guys that have been around for listening for a minute, really appreciate you. This has been fun. This is something I actually look forward to. Getting to do these conversations, James, we get to sit down with some really, really interesting people, and they just talk with us. And by the way, if you're listening, you don't have to pay for it. So it's not like content that you got to go, you know, steal from somewhere. We've been doing this for a long time. We've had some great conversations. I've had some great companies. I wanted to do, as we get into it, I know, you know, we don't do ads, and I tried it for like 15 minutes. I hated it. I'm never doing it again. Every once in a while, as you listen to an episode, there'll be like this platform, I allow them to put in ads because it decreases the cost of my hosting on here, so you guys can continue without having to pay anything. But that's kind of rare. But there's been some companies that I think need to get acknowledged for the time and effort they've put in, and sometimes some of the financial costs they've helped cover. My boys over at Netscope. Man, I love you guys for doing what you're doing, and for continuing to give me great content, and look forward to having you guys on. Phil over, Phil Humo over doing the go look at Phil. Phil's awesome. He's got the greatest t-shirt. I don't know what's the. It's a logo. I gotta show you guys, but anyway, he's part of CrowdSec. He helped us out a long ways ago. My buddy Jeff, if you guys don't know what WannaWare is, go check that out. We've got Tom, that Tom Venables, that's been on a couple times. He's good people. He's super smart. He's over at Turnkey. They've done some stuff for us, and probably a bunch of others that I'm going to forget, and we'll talk about it at 600, but those are the easy offhand ones. I think it's good to kind of acknowledge how we got here. James, I hope we keep doing this for a while. I know the early episodes were sort of like, well, we recorded it when I had time or felt like it. Now it's a weekly thing. Yeah. The only time I really miss episodes and I don't publish anything is when life just gets entirely too busy, or I'm actually going on vacation, and I love you guys, but I do go on vacation sometimes. And
you need a podcast life balance, Raph. So you need to make sure.
Yes, I do. I practice good podcast life balance. That's right. That's right. I'd like to think I do. I did put in. So if you click on any of the episodes, if you go to dtsr.buzzsprout.com, or if you look at your MP3 player, whatever podcast player, there is a support the show link. So you can now do like a Patreon style type of thing. Jeff Rich was the first. And you know, I appreciate anybody donating. It goes to offset the bills. There's some costs involved in keeping this thing going. I am thinking about creating some sort of thing. Like years ago, Microsoft made that T-shirt for me. It's still sitting back there. I love it. And something like that. So maybe we do something for guests as we go. Yeah. So next week, who's ready? Let's get it ready. Done. 600.
That's going to be fun.
600. Woo. All right. Bud, it's been a wild ride, and I'm looking forward to what's coming next.
Yeah, you bet. I agree.
All right, folks. Go check us out on LinkedIn. If you don't mind, you know, go click on there. Join, support us, whatever you want to do. The best thing you can do is pass us along to your friends so more people download it. And that's always helpful for distribution. So episode 599, we'll call this one done, and I'll see you guys at 600.
This is Bella. Thanks for listening. Don't forget to leave my dad a review and share this with your friends. Bye.